Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your day. Farm Defense, products in which will help your harvesting go easier and make you safer.
Yeah, you want a farm and garden in the ultimate comfort. Farmer's Defense has lightweight and durable sleeves to protect you against the elements. While farming, farmer's sleeves are often unparalleled. They offer unparalleled protection of arms and skin for any farmer, gardener, or outdoor worker. Their sleeves are cooling, comfort, protection against the elements and outdoors. You can say goodbye to irritated skin and sunburns in the garden. An alternative to thick clothing, Farmer's Defense is made of wicking material with UBF protection factor of 50 plus to protect you from allergens and scratches. To find all their great products and more, visit farmersdefense.com.
Now, the key to all gardeners who have gardens is to get the most out of their garden, to get the most production possible, and essentially doing it with the least amount of effort, not overworking the garden, not overworking yourself, but getting a good return on the investment of your garden.
Right. So you want to, I guess, work garden smarter, not harder.
Okay.
So one way you can get the most production out of your garden this year, and as we come upon Memorial Day, which in a lot of growing more northern growing zones is when a lot of people start to think about planting. So one thing you can do over the next couple weekends is think about your soil. So maybe you want to add some compost to your soil, or you want to add some organic matter. And then this way will help keep your soil fertilized and fed throughout the season.
Buy in bulk.
Yeah. So if you want to refresh your garden beds, you might want to consider getting some compost delivered. Maybe you are the type of person that uses some sort of animal manure. You want to consider, you know, how you're going to obtain that, where it's coming from, etc. You want to kind of start to prepare now.
Blue Ribbon Organics in the Milwaukee area is a great source for bulk material. And you don't have to work it into your garden. You can simply top dress or apply a couple of inches on top of where you're at in your garden. Now, if there are weeds that are exposing themselves out of the ground, then you do want to remove them, because it's just easier and not have to fight them coming through the compost, because some of them will. In doing that, you can, and weeding, that's our next one, in order to improve the garden, whether weeding before adding the compost or weeding throughout the growing season, weeds are much more vigorous and more aggressive than the vegetables and the fruits in which you're trying to grow.
Right. So, yeah, you want to weed. Another thing about weeding is, as Joy mentioned, they're vigorous, but then also because they are taking up things from the soil, they're taking things from the soil and from your plants. So you want to think about how they could also be crowding the roots and or robbing the soil of nutrients.
Yes. And weeding doesn't mean going in, ripping the top of the plant off and going, hey, it's not there anymore. Roots of these weeds are designed to regrow and continue to fight for survival. So even if you pull part of the root out of a dandelion or a wiregrass or a piece of fescue, there are many different roots underneath the soil that are going to regenerate a new top growth. So proper removal of roots can greatly reduce the amount of weeds in which you're going to have. Now, you're going to have blow-in, you're going to have drift-in, you're going to have birds drop, you're going to have all this stuff additional. But preventing the weeds on your end will greatly reduce it.
It also it will reduce the weed problems. But one thing you want to keep in mind is that, like I said, weeds are taking from things in the soil,
right?
But also with watering. So when you water, you are feeding everything in your soil, including the weeds. So when you're watering, you want to water properly. You want to water timely and thoroughly. Yep. So when you're watering, you might think, okay, I'm going to make sure I spray at the root of my plants, and I'm going to do each plant for 4 seconds or whatever. And sometimes that's not enough. You have to think about coming back and rewatering. And then also, especially if in containers, sometimes you might water till it runs out the bottom of the container, and then you want to come back and do that again. And you might have to do that twice a day during the peak parts of summer.
You got to recharge the soil. Most of the soil, a lot of times that I have seen in our raised beds, that if you water and you haven't watered for a long time, the soil is hydrophobic. It rejects the water. It causes the water to run away and doesn't absorb, or it will absorb very minimal amount of water. So you think you've watered a lot. You go over and scrape the top half inch off. It's bone dry. So that's why you want to consistently water, whether you use a tree hugger sprinkler, a tree diaper, or a irrigation system from dripworks.com in order to have that constant moisture in your garden so you can always have moisture at the roots. And whenever we're talking about weeding, often people will weed by tilling. Again, tilling chops up those roots, and now instead of seven plants or seven weeds you have in that area, now you've got 215 because that the tines of the tiller have chopped up these particles, and it looks pretty right now, but in 2.5 weeks it is a football field of grass turf because all of these weeds have regenerated from root follicles and are covering your garden even more intensely than they were before.
Right. And then so I remember I had a friend who was a religious tiller, and he, you know, he tilled his garden, his parents tilled their garden, their parents tilled their garden. And when I explained to him that you are chopping up these weeds and they're propagating themselves, and he's like, yeah, but I thought that, you know, you till the weeds into the soil and that takes care of them. And I'm like, yeah, for 10 days.
Oh, I mean, basically. There's right. Yeah. Now we will remove the weeds and then put the weeds on top of the soil to create a mulch layer and expose the roots in order for them to die. Some people will spade the small ones over, and that will kill them that way. Watering, plant the things at the right time of year. People often want to plant cucumbers very early in the season, and cucumbers require a root temperature of 65 degrees or more consistent in order to develop and grow correctly. People want to throw them in very early and think, oh, I'm going to get cucumbers, and the plants do not like that, and they have difficulty producing the cucumbers that you're wanting. Plant the things at the right time. Tomatoes too early, you're going to fight the cold. You're going to fight the cold soil. You are going to deal with frost or frigid temperatures. Tomatoes do not like temperatures below 50 degrees. Now, they won't die, but you're stunning them. You're causing problems. Wait until the soil is 50, 55 degrees consistent, and then put the tomatoes in. Being the first person to have a tomato on the block, in the neighborhood, at the church social, there's a lot of extra work that you're putting into in order to get that first tomato. Just wait and do it at the more appropriate time, and then you won't have as many stressors in the garden. Plant radishes and lettuces and spinaches in the spring and in the fall. Don't try to grow them during the summer, where they won't grow hardly at all. They will strictly go to seed because of the heat and the day length. So knowing what to plant and when to plant it can greatly increase the productivity of the garden because you're planting them when they are designed by nature to grow.
Absolutely. And then, so let's talk about shade versus sun. And this can be a key factor. A lot of people don't realize that they are either not providing enough sun to certain plants, or they're basically cooking their plants, certain plants. So there are different crops, especially there's a little saying that if it's green, if you grow up for the fruit or the root, it needs full sun. If you grow up for the green, it can be in the partial shade. So when we're talking about partial shade, we're not talking about that weird back corner of your garden that gets like 1 minute of sunshine when the sun is coming up. We're talking about, like, I don't know, 4 to 6 hours.
Right.
As
minimum.
Opposed to 8 to 12.
Right. Minimum 4 to 6 hours mm-hmm. of sunlight. And by doing that, you are going, the plants are certain plants like that partial shade. Other plants can tolerate partial shade. But those plants that tolerate partial shade, beets, green beans, cherry tomatoes, they are not going to grow as rapidly. They will produce, but not grow as rapidly. That's why people will say, oh, I got partial shade, I'm growing cherry tomatoes, because it doesn't take as much energy to produce the cherries versus the big beefsteaks, the brandywines, the mortgage lifters, black crims. So be aware of what you're planting, when you're planting, and where you are planting. Take a little time, do a little research, and figure out. Now, if things have always worked the way that, you know, you've always had success doing this for 37 years and your grandmother's had success for it for 417 years, we'll keep doing it. But for most of us, things don't work the way you want them to if they're not designed to work that way.
And that's something that you had to learn. I had to teach you that we had to feed the soil, not the plants.
Because I came from an agricultural background where you fed the soil. The soil was the media, was just a holding place for the
crops.
You
fed the plants.
Right.
No, right, yeah.
Yeah, you pumped the fertilizer in the field, and the plants fed off the fertilizer, and the medium was just the soil. The soil was dead. And this was a non-organic agricultural background. Organic farming, the soil is the feed for the plants. And it grows there and it feeds off the soil. So, yes, you have to keep that in mind.
Yeah. So you want to keep in mind that it's important to, yes, you may have done things one way, but as you learn things and continue on, you can make changes, you can make tweaks, you can try new things. And you don't have to try new things in your whole entire garden. You can always just designate one area to see how you like it. But it is always a learning process.
If you want to control beetles and grubs, invaders, without affecting the rest of your ecosystem in your yard, then GrubGon and BeetleGon are the solution.
Phylum's GrubGon and BeetleGon target a wide range of invasive and destructive beetles, weevils, borers, without harming non-targets such as bees, ladybugs, butterflies, earthworms, or other beneficial insects. You can purchase from these products locally in Massachusetts at Ward's Nursery, McHugh Garden Center, Hyannis Country Gardens, in Connecticut at Van Wilgen's Garden Center, in Maine at Salisbury Organics, and in New York at Fatigan's Nursery, and in Ohio at Berlin Seeds. If you go to phylumbioproducts.com, you can find all the information there. You want to target the pest, not the rest. That's PHYLLOM bioproducts.com. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.